So we will study 9 and 10, and then 11 will come on the board. And then we'll chant that responsively. So, text 9. Shishya ime bhagavatak paritak patanti gayanti sama sarahasyam ajastram isham yasmat chika vilulita sumano bibrishti sarve bhajant vishigana iva veda shaka. Translation. Seeing the bumblebees following Purvachitti, Maharaj Agnidra said, "My dear Lord, the bumblebees surrounding your body are like disciples surrounding your worshipable self. They are incessantly chanting the mantras on the Samaveda and the Upanishads, thus offering prayers to you. Just as great sages resort to the branches of Vedic literatures, the bumblebees are enjoying the showers of flowers falling from your hair." Text 10. Vachang parang charanapanjara tittarinam brahmanarupa mukaram shrinavamatubhyam labdha kadamba ruchir anka vitanka bimbe yasyam alata paridhi kachavalkalam te. O Brahmana, I can simply hear the tinkling of your ankle bells. Within those bells, tittari birds seem to be chirping amongst themselves. Although I do not see their forms, I can see how they are chirping. When I look at your beautiful circular hips, I see they are the lovely color of kadamba flowers, and your waist is encircled by a belt of burning cinders. Indeed, you seem to have forgotten to dress yourself. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. With lusty desires to see Purvachitti, Agnidra especially gazed upon the girl's attractive hips and waist. When a man looks upon a woman with such lusty desires, he is captivated by her face, her breasts, and her waist. For a woman first attracts a man to fulfill his sexual desires by the beautiful features of her face, by the beautiful slope of her breasts, and also by her waist. Purvachitta was dressed in fine yellow silk, and therefore her hips looked like kadamba flowers. Because of her belt, her waist seemed to be encircled by burning cinders. She was fully dressed, but Agnidra had become so lusty that he asked, "Why have you come naked?" Text 11. Let's see. Please see responsibly. Kim samhritam ruchirayo dvijan shringayos te king samhritam ruchirayo dvijan shringayos te king samhritam ruchirayo dvijan shringayos te madhye krisha vahasi yatra drishi shrita me madhye krisha vahasi yatra drishi shrita me. Madhye krisha vahasi yatra drishi shrita me. Panka arunam surabhi atman vishana idrik pankor unak surabhi atman vishana idrik pankor unak surabhi atman vishana idrik yenashramam subhagam me surabhi karoshi yenashramam subhagam me surabhi karoshi yenashramam subhagam me surabhi karoshi King Sampratam Ruchirayor Dijashungayaste Madhye Krishova Hasiyatra Drishikshitame Pankorunaksura Bhiradma Vishana Idrik Yenashramam subhagame surabhi kuroshi King Sambritam Ruchirayor Dijashungayoste Bhagame Surabhi Karoshi King Sambhritam Ruchirayor Dijashungayoste Madhye Krishova Hasiyatra Drishikshitame Pankorunak sahabiratma vishana idrik Yenashramam subhagame surabhi karoshi King Sambritam Ruchirayor Dijashungayoste Ne Krishova Hasiyatra Dushikshitame Pankorunaksura Biradma Vishana Idrik Yenashamang Subhagame Surabhi Kuroshi King Sambritam Ruchirayor Dijashungayoste Sogrihasi Yatra Dushikshitame Pankorunaksura Biradma Vishana Idrik Yenashramam subhagame surabhi karoshi. Matajis.
Word for word.
Kim, what? Sambhritam, filled. Ruchirayo, very beautiful. Dvija, O Brahmana, Shringayo, within two horns, Te, your, Madhye, in the middle, Krishaha, thin, Vahasi, you are carrying, Yatra, wherein, Drishi, eyes, Shrita, attached. Me, my. Panga, powder. Arunam, red. Surabhi, fragrant. Atmavishane, on the two horns. Idrik, such. Yena, by which, ashramam, place of residence, subhagam, O most fortunate one, my, surabhi karoshi, you are perfuming. Translation. Agnidra then praised Purvachitti's raised breasts. He said, my dear Brahmana, your waist is very thin, yet with great difficulty you are carefully carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns? You seem to have spread fragrant red powder upon them, powder that is like the rising morning sun. O most fortunate one, I beg to inquire where you have gotten this fragrant powder that is perfuming my ashram, my place of residence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Agnidra appreciated Purvachitti's raised breasts. After seeing the girl's breasts, he became almost mad. Nevertheless, he could not recognize whether Purvachitti was a boy or a girl, for as a result of his austerity, he saw no distinction between the two. He therefore addressed her with the words, Dvija, O Brahmana. Yet why should a Dvija, a Brahmana boy, have horns on his chest? Because the boy's waist was thin, Agnidra thought he was carrying the horns with great difficulty, and therefore they must be filled with something very valuable. Otherwise, why would he carry them? When a woman's waist is thin and her breasts are full, she looks very attractive. Agnidra, his eyes attracted, contemplated the heavy breasts on the girl's thin body and imagined how her back must sustain them. Agnidra imagined that her raised breasts were two horns she had covered with cloth so that others would not see the valuables within them. Agnidra, however, was very anxious to see them. Therefore, he requested, please uncover them so that I can see what you are carrying. Rest assured, I shall not take it away. If you feel an inconvenience in removing the covering, I can help you. I myself can uncover them to see what valuable things those raised horns contain. He was also surprised to see the red dust of perfumed kumkum spread over her breasts. Nevertheless, still considering Purvachitti a boy, Agnidra addressed her as Subhaga, most fortunate Muni. The boy must have been fortunate, otherwise how simply by standing there could he perfume Agnidra's entire ashram? So we'll read the text again, quickly. Shesha ime bhagavatak paritak patanti gayanti sama sarahasya majasram isham yusmat chikha bilulitak chumano bivrishti sarve bhajant rishigana iva veda shaka. Seeing the bumblebees following Purvachitti, Maharaj Agnidra said, my dear Lord, the bumblebees surrounding your body are like disciples surrounding your worshipable self. They are incessantly chanting the mantras of the Samaveda and the Upanishads, thus offering prayers to you. Just as great sages resort to the branches of Vedic literatures, the bumblebees are enjoying the showers of flowers falling from your hair. 10. Vachang parang charanapanjara tittarinam brahmannarupa mukaram shunavamatubhyam labdha kadambaruchir anka vitanka bimbe yasyam alata paridhi kachavalkalam te. O Brahmana, I can simply hear the tinkling of your ankle bells. Within those bells, chittari birds seem to be chirping amongst themselves. Although I do not see their forms, I can hear how they are chirping. When I look at your beautiful circular hips, I see they are of the lovely color of kadamba flowers, and your waist is encircled by a belt of burning cinders. Indeed, you seem to have forgotten to dress yourself. King Sambritam Ruchirayor Dijasingayoste Madye Krishovahasi Yatra Drishik Shitame Pankorunak Surabir Atma Vishana Idrik yenashramang subhagame surabhi karoshi. Agnidra then praised Purvachiti's raised breasts. He said, "My dear Brahmana, your waist is very thin, yet with great difficulty you are carefully carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns? You seem to have spread fragrant red powder upon them, powder that is like the rising morning sun. O most fortunate one, I beg to inquire where you have gotten this fragrant powder that is perfuming my ashram, my place of residence." Om Agyana Timirantasya Gyanam Janashalakaya Chakshuran Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karah Mahyam Dharati Swaparantikam Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschatide Shatarane. So we're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Artakoy. He says, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Tulya. Krishna Tulya, it's non-different from Krishna. And it's Vibhu, all-powerful. Sarvashray, it's the shelter of everyone. And it says, Prati Shloki, Prati Akshare, in every verse, not only every verse, but every word, there is Nana Artha, many meanings. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. There's not a tinge of material contamination in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's not a tinge of direction for the reader to for anything other than coming to the platform of pure Krishna Bhakti. Here, Maharaj Agnidra, he's gone to the forest with the desire to beget progeny. And he was given assigned duty by his father to protect all the citizens and follow his example of treating them all, like his father's example of treating them all as if they were his own sons and daughters. So he understands that he has to become qualified for this important service. And one of the very most important things that a king has to think about is succession. He has to think how the kingdom will go on, how the people of the kingdom will be able to peacefully execute their duties in order to, for their elevation and purification, how they'll be able to peacefully execute their duties, not only during his presence, but he also has to make arrangements for the future after he's no longer there to do the job. So he knows that he needs to beget progeny. And indeed, he was very successful. He begot 9 sons, all very qualified sons, who were able to take charge of the 9 islands of Jambudvip. He was in charge of the whole Jambudvip. So his 9 sons, he divided up each of the islands amongst his 9 sons. Not only that, did he have such qualified sons, but he had a very qualified grandson who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabhadev. So he has a very great task before him. And we see an evolution in the pastimes of Maharaj Agnidra. It's basically just one chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but we see an evolution here of him taking up this service, understanding that he needs to get the blessings of Lord Brahma so that he can perform his duties and properly as a king, that he needs to become married and have sons, and he's aspiring for the higher planets. He's aspiring for Pitraloka, because he knows not only will his sons be able to maintain the kingdom, but also they'll be able to perform pinda. And by that performance of pinda, that he'll be able to stay in Pitraloka. And it says at the end, it says later in this chapter, that indeed he does, after he finishes his pastimes, indeed he does go to Pitraloka. And it's not described any further what his destination was after that. But we know that he had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his grandson. So certainly he had a very auspicious life and a very auspicious result of his activities. So we see the development here towards that end. And we see that first he's performing austerities, restraining his senses, looking at the tip of his nose. But his desire is to have a wife. And he wants a very qualified wife. And at that point in time, he knew that such a qualified wife had to be supplied by Lord Brahma directly. It wasn't that there was some neighboring kingdom where there was another king who might have a daughter, because he was the king of the whole Jambudvip. So he wanted to have his wife from Pitraloka, so that he could perform his duties. So he's meditating on the tip of his nose, and then he sees someone else's, his eyes are half closed, as we heard yesterday. The eyes were half closed, so he saw someone else had entered into the garden of his ashram. At first he was trying to understand, what is this? Who is this that has come? So we see gradually he's understanding what is happening. And in this first verse, text 9, first verse we read, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So in this first, this text 9, very interesting, seeing the bumblebees following Purvachitti. So he sees Purvachitti coming, and the first thing he notices is there's bumblebees following her. So My dear Lord, the bumblebees surrounding your body are like disciples. Well, of course, he's noticed her eyes yesterday, as we heard. He's noticed her eyes. And now he's noticing the bumblebees surrounding her body. My dear Lord, the bumblebees surrounding your body are like disciples surrounding your worshipable self. So he addresses her as Bhagavata. Bhagavat means it's name for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it means someone who's very opulent, full of bhaga, full of opulence. So so he's seeing the bumblebees were like disciples, and he's seeing this is a very wonderful personality. So he's thinking, well, wonderful personalities are glorified by the hymns of the Samaveda and the Upanishads. So the bumblebees are buzzing. So he's hearing in the bumblebees buzzing, he's hearing these hymns of the Samaveda and the Upanishads. Just like if someone is really absorbed in kirtan, chanting the holy name, you may hear some sound, and you may hear, you may hear the holy name somehow or other come manifest in that sound, because that's your mentality is like that. You're absorbed in the holy name, so you may hear the holy name in the surroundings, amongst mundane sound. So the bumblebees are buzzing, and he's thinking, oh, they're chanting glorification of this wonderful personality, Purvachitti. And not only that, but the analogy is furthered by he's saying, just as great sages resort to the branches of Vedic literatures, the bumblebees are enjoying the showers of flowers falling from your hair. So the flowers are falling from her hair, and the bumblebees are going after those flowers, just like the sages are attracted to the different branches of Vedic wisdom. So he's glorifying her in this way. Then, next verse. He says, O Brahmana, I can simply hear the tinkling of your ankle bells. Within those bells, Tituri birds seem to be chirping amongst themselves. Although I do not see their forms, I can hear how they are chirping. When I look at your beautiful circular hips, I see they are the lovely color of Kadamba flowers, and your waist is encircled by a belt of burning cinders. Indeed, you seem to have forgotten to dress yourself. So now he's coming to understand that he's beginning to understand that this must be his future wife. He's beginning to understand that Lord Brahma, he's performing his austerities for the pleasure of Lord Brahma, in order that he can have a wife. So he's beginning to understand that, this beautiful girl has come, being sent by Lord Brahma. And so he's very much interested in having a relationship with her, because that's his whole purpose, is he wants to get married and have sons. So he begins to speak flattering words to her, praising her bodily form. Now, it says, it is possible for, as we see from the Vedic literature, it is possible for someone to be raised in such a way that they have no idea of woman. Someone to be raised so they have no idea of what is woman. And the example is Rishyashringa. You know the story of Rishyashringa? Rishyashringa was the son of some great rishi who was living in the forest. Huh? I'm sorry? I can't hear. Okay, anyway, so he was the son. So this Muni was living in the forest, and he was performing great austerities, and in order to get powers. So Indra was afraid of the powers that he might acquire. So he sent Urvashi to entice him and to break his austerities. So Urvashi united with him, and Rishyashringa was born. Now, as soon as Rishyashringa was born, Urvashi immediately left and went back to the heavenly planets. She'd done her job, she went back to the heavenly planets. And Rishyashringa's father was very upset. Here she's come, broken all my hopes to get these higher powers have been lost by this Urvashi, by this influence of this Urvashi. Now she's gone back to the heavenly planets, and I have this son, and I don't have my austerities, I don't have her either. I don't have Urvashi either. And I have to take care of this son. So he was very, very angry. So he decided that women are very bad. So he would raise his son without any knowledge of women. So he raised his son through his whole youth without telling him about the existence of women, and he had no experience. So there's a whole story in Mahabharata and Ramayana about how he finally becomes of age, and then he experiences women for the first time or whatever, and he's having so much long involved story in that regard. But that's not the case with Agnidra. Agnidra is not in the same situation as Rishyashringa. Rishyashringa actually had no experience of women, but Agnidra, he was raised by his father and mother, he grew up in human society. He knew about the existence of women, but still, because of his austerities, he had done many austerities, he wanted to try to impress this Purvachitti with his austerities. So he was talking about, so he began to speak to her as if she's a man, to impress upon her that he's performed such great austerities that he's forgotten the difference between man and woman. So here he's talking about these things, and then we come to today's verse, which is Kim Sampratam Ruchareor Dvija Shringayoste Madhye Krishova Hasiyatra Drishik Shritame Pankorunam Surabir Atma Vishana Idrik Yenashramang Subagame Surabhi Kuroshi. Agnidra then praised Purvachitti's raised breast. He said, "My dear Brahmin, your waist is very thin, yet with great difficulty you are carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns?" So now the Sanskrit word you see in the first line, Shringaya. The Sanskrit word Shringaya has two meanings, or has many meanings, but two of the meanings. One meaning is horn. Like Rishyashringa, he had a horn on his head. That's why he was called Rishyashringa. But Shringa also means breast. It means any sharp, any raised object, like Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakam Adbhuta Shringam. Prahlad Maharaj is praising Lord Nrisingadev. You have these wonderful sharp, nails on your fingers to tear apart Hiranyakashipu. Very wonderful. So this word Shringa There's like a double meaning in this verse here on the board. It's saying both that as if Agnidra is thinking that Purvachiti is a boy, and talking about how he has horns on his chest, hiding something, and also at the same time praising, using the word for breast, and saying that you have a very beautiful breast. So he's continuing to flatter her and impressing her. So in this way he's trying to impress her, he's continuing his flattering her. And then he talks about the red powder that she's decorated her body with, and wondering where she's gotten this red powder that's making his whole ashram perfectly fragrant. So in this way, Agnidra is flattering her and enticing her and reciprocating with her feminine glances in order to he's beginning his relationship with her. This is the if you want to enter into household of life, this is the necessity. There has to be flattery. The man has to fulfill the desires of his wife. The wife has to fulfill the desires of the man. So they're beginning some exchange in order to starting their relationship. So the end result is that very wonderful future generations of great saintly kings come into existence, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhadev, also appears in his family as his grandson. And Lord Rishabhadev gives very wonderful instructions for the purification of the world. So the Srimad, we should not think at any time that the Srimad Bhagavatam is in any way mundane. It has no tinge. There's no tinge of material contamination here. Everything, every word is only directed towards the purification of the hearer. So if we hear about the pastimes with faith and devotion, we hear about the pastimes of the great devotees of the Lord and their appearance and activities, then we become purified. So even if we don't understand some point, even if we can't grasp the full meaning or the full purport of what is being described here, we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam with faith. We should hear from the from Srila Prabhupada's purport. We should understand if we can't understand, then we should try to hear and hear, repeatedly hear, and eventually the understanding will come in due course of time. So today is also the disappearance day of Ramachandra Kaviraj. Ramachandra Kaviraj was the son of Chiranjeev Kandavasi, who was a very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that the residents of Shikhanda were always coming to Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the rainy season and participating in the Rath Yatra. And so many, many residents of Shikhanda are described. And Chiranjeev, he was a very dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had a son, Ramachandra Kaviraj. Now, Ramachandra, actually his name was Ramachandra Chakravarti. Ramachandra Chakravarti, he was a... He took initiation from Srinivas Acharya, and Srinivas Acharya took him to Vrindavan, and Jiva Goswami gave him the title of Kaviraj. So he was, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur, they were They're both considered in the same level in our Siksha Sampradaya, but actually Srinivas Acharya was much older than Narottam Das. So his disciple Ramachandra was about the same age as Narottam. And Narottam and Ramachandra Kaviraj developed a very great friendship. They used to travel everywhere together. They used to do, preach together. They were these... Srinivas, Narottam, Shyamananda, they were the great pioneers of the preaching movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one day, Narottam and Ramachandra were together. And they went to the bank of the Padma to take bath. And they saw two Brahmin boys with a herd of sheep and goats. They brought them to the Padma to take bath. So the Brahmin boys had brought them, and they were washing the sheep and the goats very carefully. And Narottam and Ramachandra were watching their activities. And they noticed, Ramachandra and Narottam noticed that these two Brahmin boys, they're very gentle in their behavior, and so they approached them in a friendly way and inquired, "Oh, what are you boys doing?" And they were very respectfully replied, "We're the son of Shivananda, who lives in a nearby village. Now is the time of Durga Puja, and our father is performing Durga Puja, so he's going to offer these sheep and goats to Mother Durga. So we're washing them and preparing them." And they're explaining like that. So Narottam and Ramachandra, they preached to them about how this is improper activity. And the boys were very, they were such nice, simple boys. They immediately accepted whatever Narottam and Ramachandra said. So the boys, upon hearing the instructions of Narottam, they were such potent preachers, Ramachandra and Narottam, they're such potent preachers. Just by explaining, immediately those two boys, very aristocratic boys, they released all the sheep and goats, let them go away. They took bath, shaved their heads, came before, one took initiation from Narottam, one took initiation from Ramachandra on the spot. And then they spent some days hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from those two great personalities, and then they went back to their village and to meet their father. And their father was very upset, very angry Why have you done this? What happened to you? He's the we have so many personal experiences similar to this, perhaps in our own life. The father was very angry that my sons have shaved up and my worship of Lord Durga was not successful. And the boys started chastising their father. Said, "You've given up the worship of Shaligram Narayan and taken up the worship of Durga." So this is very bad. And they were preaching to them. And finally, Shivananda could not defeat them. So he said, "I'm going to call some very great pundits to defeat them." So the story goes on and on and on. So eventually, it comes down to there's going to be a big debate where these great smarta pundits are going to come and they're going to debate with Srinivasacharya, with Narottam and Ramachandra there. So it's told that these pundits were coming. So two of the devotees of Srinivasacharya, they heard that these pundits were going to come through a particular village and camp there for the night. So they went and quickly set up a shop, one to sell clay pots and another to sell sabji. So they were at the entrance of the village. They set up like that. And then these pundits came and camped for the night, and they had to get pots for cooking. So they brought their... they came to buy some pots from the shop, and the shopkeeper started speaking in pure Sanskrit and talking, speaking to them in Sanskrit. So they speak Sanskrit, and then they started to debate on philosophical matters with these shopkeepers. The shopkeepers were able to defeat them in the debate. And so they said, "Oh ho." So then they said, "Well, who are you?" I said, we're disciples of Srinivasacharya." So then they went back to their camp and they were speaking amongst themselves and said, "Oh, there's these lower disciples of Srinivasacharya. They can speak such pure Sanskrit and they can defeat us. What to speak of Srinivasacharya himself?" So then the pundits, they packed up and they went back and gave up. So anyway, Narottam Das Thakur was very, very attached to the association of Ramachandra Kaviraj. In more than one song, he speaks about how he values the association of Ramachandra Kaviraj. Just like this morning, Prabhu was singing this kirtan. We were all singing this kirtan, Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Das. So here, even though Narottam is senior, in one sense, senior to Ramachandra, because he was a devotee first, before Ramachandra was a devotee. But he considered Ramachandra to be such a qualified devotee, such a close friend, that he's praying to Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, and Advaita, and six Goswamis, and Srinivasacharya, and all these great devotees, he's also, his prayer, he doesn't consider his prayer to be complete without saying that I'm always wanting praying to them. I want the association of Ramachandra Kaviraj. So we should value and treasure our friends' friendships amongst devotees. We cannot. There's no estimation of the value of the friendship of a devotee of the Lord. Even though there may be so many friendly dealings and even disagreements, arguments, so many things may happen in the course of our friendships with other devotees, but when we hear, we should remember when we hear these songs and other songs of Narottam Das Thakur, we should remember his, how he was very much appreciating the association of Ramachandra, and how we should be very much appreciative of the association of the devotees, because without them, how is it possible for us to prosecute Krishna consciousness? Even though we may have guru, but we're very much dependent upon the association of the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. So these are some points. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Any questions or comments? Yes. Microphone there? No microphone today? Our microphone wala is gone for prasad distribution. Can you get Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. There is a dress code for men, for Vaishnava, like white clothes for householders. White garments for householders and saffron for brahmachari and sannyasi. But there is no dress code for Mataji, woman, in ISKCON. They continue to wear the same garments, same ornaments.
Actually, there's no dress code for Vaishnavas at all.
No, white for...
Actually, traditionally, there's no dress code for Vaishnavas. This saffron was added by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Previously, all the Vaishnavas wore white only. But only because for preaching we have the saffron color, because people respect renunciation. Actually, all Vaishnavas are renounced, whether they're living in the forest or living in the city. All Vaishnavas are renounced, but still some are not married, so to bring respect from the public, they wear that saffron cloth. So it's not really a dress code that's related to our philosophy.
No, but for Mataji, there is no requirement to wear white dress or...
Because there's nothing in our tradition like that.
Uh-huh.
Nothing in our tradition like that.
So even this shirt and pant dress is okay for a Vaishnava?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Whatever Agnidra is speaking in these verses, I think he must be joking. Whatever he is speaking in these verses, Agnidra, Maharaj Agnidra, he must be joking.
Yeah, flattering, joking, yes.
Yeah.
It's clear. You can see the progression if you study the verses that... You know, first the eyes and then the bumblebees, and you see that he's gradually becoming more attached to her as he's seeing, and then he becomes more and more familiar as she's reciprocating with his talking, with her glances and motion. You know, he's becoming more and more attached. You can see, and he's joking with her.
Srila Prabhupada says that by flattering a woman, you can easily capture her. So that's what he is doing.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Thank you. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.